T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mr. Burton.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Hey, thank you for joining us. You just heard the voice of an attorney representing the deceased suspect's family. You know, this is typical. This is what attorneys do. They're going to try to throw as many things out there as possible. At what point do we expect to hear from the Buffalo Police Department to sort of settle some of these accusations and other rumors out there? When are we going to hear a statement from the Buffalo Police that set the record straight?
Well, please understand, Sam, I represent this officer through the PBA and certainly don't speak for the administration of the police department. I can tell you a number of things, though, that my brother Nelson said just simply didn't happen. I don't know if you want to address that, but...
Well, absolutely, because what I'm afraid of, Tom Burton, and David Bellavia is with us, of course, the co-host of the program. What I'm concerned about is in the vacuum of facts from the administration, and we understand you've got no control over that, false narratives may arise which would do great damage to the men and women on the streets of the city of Buffalo.
Well, here's the first thing, and I understand your co-host here's got some significant military experience, and here's the bottom line. All of these deadly force circumstances do not take place in a vacuum. In other words, when this happens to a street cop or a car crew or someone in a military setting, the circumstances are dynamic. They're split second. You make a move in a heartbeat, and you act on the information you have at that moment. To suggest that this car was pulled over the way Nelson talked about, he just simply doesn't know the facts. He's probably unaware that the police car that pulled in front of this fellow's vehicle to stop him was hit and damaged in the course of, you know, the operator driving away. There was a Buffalo News report that, credit to that medium, did a pretty good job here. There was a young boy, 10 or 11 years old, that darn near got run over by this event. And the officer who ended up losing, or almost losing, rather, his ear, the last thing he did before that car crashed into the house was to jerk the wheel to keep that little boy from being run over. I don't know what the specific narcotics have tested out to, but I can tell you that that car did not have brochures to go to Shays Buffalo. There was narcotics in the car.
Mr. Burton, I've heard that there was narcotics and also a fairly sizable amount of cash in that vehicle. Are you in a position to confirm the second part of that?
I can't do it yet. I can tell you that what appeared to be narcotics was seen and secured.
Do you know if the GSR tests have been run on the dead man's hands to confirm that his hand was near a firearm when it discharged?
Don't know. Those nitrate testing and many times are the old paraffin test, and a few of those are not viewed as being terribly reliable. And really, from a legal standpoint, not too much turns on that in terms of the perception of Officer Tedesco, who fired. Mm-hmm. Key to this case legally is, what did the cop who had not been injured with his ear hanging off, what did he perceive at the moment he fired?
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence to this case.
We're speaking with Tom Burton, who is a attorney for the Buffalo PDA. Sir, could you just give us a map of Officer Tedesco fired the shots that killed this suspect, and where was he in proximity to the injured officer at the time that those shots were fired? Was the officer behind him, in front of him? Can you tell us that?
I can tell you at this juncture he was in close proximity, close enough to hear Aquino screaming, he got me, I've been shot, help me, words to that effect. Mm. And he certainly knew his partner didn't start out the encounter with his ear hanging off the side of his head with a gaping wound on the side of his skull. And it was at that moment that Telesco hears that his partner is saying, I've been shot, words to that effect, yelling them, and he looks over, and there's a gaping wound on the side of Aquino's head is there right next to the car. I don't know all the facts here yet, but I can tell you one thing. In terms of reasonable cause or probable cause to believe that something very drastic had happened with that officer, in other words, he had been shot, that's all that counts at this stage of the game, for Officer Telesco, what his perception was at the moment.
And the idea that a fleeing suspect was shot, that is, and people have a hard time understanding this, but if a police officer reasonably believes that said suspect poses a danger to the community, the officer may use deadly physical force, correct?
Well, you're about 70% of the way there. What the statute says is that there are various crimes that our legislature says a cop can use deadly force to effectuate an arrest or prevent an escape of custody. One of them is a felony involving the use of physical force. And here there's, one of the obvious felonies is assault to a police officer. And the injury to that cop when he stumbled out of the car was way beyond physical force when you've got an ear hanging off the side of your head.
Mr. Burton, could you say with certainty that you're confident that Mr. Tedesco's firearm or any of the rounds that he fired at the suspect did not hit Officer Aquino, that the injuries sustained by Officer Aquino were not from the firearm of Officer Tedesco?
It's a good question, and my confidence level is extremely high that Telesco's shots did not hit his partner.
We are talking with Tom Burton, the attorney for the Buffalo PBA. Mr. Burton, do we know yet whether Officer Aquino was injured by his own sidearm during a struggle or whether the suspect was armed?
That's still under review, and out of deference to the process by the people that are going to be looking at this case, I can comment on it, but I respectfully decline to do it right now.
Understood.
Can I just ask you, just from a legal point of view, if suspect A is wrestling with officer B and a round is discharged, even if it's the officer's handgun, in a situation where there is a struggle or an assault on an officer, that officer is injured, that's still an attempted murder on a police officer, is it not?
Well, it's the better way to view it, and it would be, but we train in this circumstance in the academy. I teach this stuff and have for many years in the academy. If you're struggling with a police officer over a weapon, and this, not routinely, thank God, but all too frequently occurs where somebody is struggling with the officer's weapon. If that weapon goes off or the officer does not have control of it, that's imminent threatened use of deadly physical force, and in that circumstance, there's a clear statutory defense for an officer to use deadly force to defend himself. I can think of 5 or 10 of these cases where, in a close hand-to-hand combat circumstance, where a weapon has come loose or almost has come loose, and the officer in those circumstances doesn't have to wait till the bad guy gets the gun away from him.
Understood. Tom Burton, attorney for the Buffalo Police PBA. Is there video footage?
It is my understanding there may be. I have not seen it, and the reviewing authorities, I'm sure, are looking it over frame by frame right now.
So we don't know right now if any video footage would absolutely confirm the necessity of using deadly physical force, and it would help out the people you are representing.
It might or may not. I want to keep coming back to it because it's the fundamental legal standard here. What was the perception of Telesco when he heard his partner say, I've been shot, and saw a head wound to his partner that he knew only 2 minutes ago was in perfectly good shape before this encounter occurred?
Are we talking about the reasonable belief standard?
Yes, it's not. And here's the, and a lot of people don't understand this. You and I and all of us, we may be inclined to do it as citizens, but we have no duty to go forward.
Right.
Cops do. And that's the reason why that statute provides a criminal defense if an officer has reasonable grounds to believe whatever violation of the statute's occurring when they use force or deadly physical force. In other words, a cop has to go forward under his oath. Citizens have no similar obligation, and that's why under New York's justification statute, there is never a circumstance where a cop must retreat.
And as you are well aware, a citizen is actually under the obligation to retreat if the citizen can do so without safety to without danger to the safety of himself or a third party.
Actually, that you're very close to quoting the statute almost exactly. A citizen in this state, we have something called the retreat to the wall rule. I think down in Texas, they'd probably call it the off-the-wall rule, but at least in New York, if a citizen is confronted with deadly physical force, if he can retreat, and here's the buzzword in the statute, with complete safety to himself and others, he must do so.
Yep.
Now, there's some exceptions to that. In other words, if in your house and a burglar confronts you, you don't have to say, look, the pickles are in the refrigerator. Have a good time. I'm going to leave right now because you're burglarizing me. Or if a woman's going to be confronted with a rapist or someone trying to forcibly sodomize her, or if you're being confronted with kidnapping, et cetera. But as the general rule, you must retreat as a citizen if you can do so with complete safety, not only to yourself, but others.
Tom, unfortunately, I have to stop you there because we have another commercial break we have to go to, and I would love to talk to you more about this tomorrow, if possible. We greatly appreciate your time and your expertise, and our best to the police officers you represent.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.